Welcome back. New Jersey's Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights takes effect today, and it's being called one of the toughest laws against bullying in the country. It requires officials in every public school in the state to designate an anti-bullying specialist and a safety team to review complaints, to file reports to a district anti-bullying coordinator, and investigate allegations of bullying within one school day. The new law came about after Tyler Clementi, the Rutgers freshman, committed suicide nearly a year ago. Connecticut and Massachusetts also passed anti-bullying laws in time for this school year. Some parents are applauding, but some administrators are wondering where will the resources come to pay for these laws and enact them. And in an age of social media, where's the line between on-campus and off-campus bullying? Justin Patchen is Associate Professor of Criminal Justice at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire and co-director of the Cyberbullying Research Center. He gives presentations on bullying to school districts. And so, Justin, I know you've been hearing these questions, right?
I have, definitely.
Well, let's talk about what some of the answers are. Take New Jersey's anti-bullying law. What are schools responsible for? Is it everything that happens on kids' computers? Is it all social media? Is it texting as well as what happens in the halls?
Well, it's all of the above to the extent that whatever is going on substantially disrupts the learning environment at school or the ability of students to learn. And so nothing has really changed there. That's been the common standard for years. And so what this law has done has made it very clear that schools in New Jersey have the authority to respond to bullying incidents that occur away from school grounds if those behaviors disrupt the learning environment. And I think what's troubling about the law in New Jersey, though, is it is one of the toughest in the country, not necessarily tough on bullies, but tough on school administrators and educators because of all it asks them to do without giving any additional resources.
And we're reading that educators who fail to comply to the laws, in other words, have these teams, anti-bullying coordinators, do their reporting within a day, could lose their licenses. So there's a lot at stake. We're reading in the New York Times that in East Hanover, New Jersey, bullying in schools can be reported to the police on the Crime Stoppers hotline. So in a way, this is sort of criminalizing what hasn't yet even been determined is criminal behavior.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that's the best idea. We spend a lot of time working with schools and advising them to deal with bullying incidents informally before it gets to the level where it would require a response from law enforcement. And I also train law enforcement officers around the country, and I tell them, look, there's a lot they can do short of enforcing the criminal law, but I do think we should create opportunities for students to report what is going on, either through anonymous web-based reporting system, email, or many schools are now giving their front office staff cell phones so that students can text concerns they have, and then they can be investigated that way.
Well, and then the idea of cyberbullying, which, you know, takes it out of the lunch line, bully, you know, and puts it in kids' homes and in, you know, places where kids are. Now, in Connecticut, for instance, there's a new law that requires officials to judge if off-campus speech, the social media usage, is disruptive in schools. And we know that lawyers are advising school boards in Connecticut. There's not clear legal precedence for dealing with online student speech. In two separate cases, appeals courts have overturned schools for punishing students for disrupting school. These were through fake MySpace pages that kids made for their principals on their home computers, but then they show them to classmates. So explain that distinction, because it seems like some schools are trying to say if it happens at home but it somehow disrupts the school, then you make the case to punish the students.
Yeah, and that's definitely true. The question is, at what point does it become a substantial disruption? Clearly, if a student is creating a website from the privacy of their own home and that website somehow leads to significant problems at school, whether it's, you know, students can't concentrate on learning, teachers can't teach, all the students are bringing up the site on their portable devices and it's just creating chaos, that's a substantial disruption. The real question is, if a student creates a website about a principal and, you know, a couple of students find out about it but nobody's really talking about it, does that disrupt the ability of the principal to do his or her job? Well, you could certainly make that argument. Some schools have done so and failed and lost. Same issue goes with cyberbullying among adolescents. So if a student is cyberbullying another student regularly over the course of weeks or months, is the ability of the target to learn at school being disrupted? And clearly everybody would agree that it is, but is it a substantial disruption? And the other issue goes to what level of intervention response is necessary. So in all the cases that have been overturned at higher court levels, it's been sort of a pretty significant response that the school has taken, expulsion or long-term suspension. And schools aren't going to get into trouble if they respond informally, bringing the student who's involved in the bullying in to discuss the inappropriateness of the behaviors and try to get it stopped, you know, is always appropriate. It's just how far they take that intervention. Yeah.
It seems, though, that there's also precedent for punishing kids for things that happen outside the classroom. I'm thinking of football players who, you know, you get drunk at a party on a Friday night. You may not play for a couple of weeks. You know, that party wasn't at school. So there is, it would seem, precedent for schools trying to regulate off-campus behavior as well. But you know, cyberbullying has sort of taken the headlines away from the prior headline, which was just old-fashioned teasing, bullying of kids who also took their lives because, let's say, they were bullied because people thought they were gay, for instance. So as you look at the bullying laws, are you encouraged by what you're seeing in that arena?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think most educators would look at sort of the spirit of the New Jersey law and say, all right, well, we're doing most of these things already, but it's going to take more than an individual, in fact, a team of individuals to handle all of these cases. The one thing I do appreciate about the law and the others in Massachusetts and Connecticut that have recently taken effect is the at least attempt at providing clarity to schools, because the biggest question that educators have is whether or not they can intervene in those cases that occur away from school, and the laws have tried to be very clear that they can, except they perhaps could have gone a little bit farther in clarifying exactly what a substantial disruption is. Do you really have to wait until it completely blows up at school before you take action? And the answer to that question is no.
Well, we're reading in the New York Times that some of the anti-bullying efforts in New Jersey include, in Elizabeth, role-playing exercises where kids practice saying things like, I am angry, and learn to read emotions in other people's face. They say they're empowering children to use the term bully. But people worry that what they're also doing is robbing kids of that necessary process in childhood of problem-solving and conflict-resolving, and that, you know, there's some things you got to figure out on your own. Do you worry about that fine line?
Well, of course, but I think we can give students some tools and some skills to help them learn more efficiently about problem solving. So if and when they do encounter a bully, they know what to do.
That's Justin Patchen. He's Associate Professor of Criminal Justice at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire and co-director of the Cyberbullying Research Center, commenting on the new law that goes into effect in New Jersey today. Justin, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
So what do you think? Of course we want to protect kids, but are the new laws on the right track? Discuss at hereandnow.org.